Well, welcome back to the open line portion of the program. So we're going to take your phone calls. Also, hit me with your best weird story, something weird that happened in your life, something you witnessed. Share that with us, too. I'm in one of those moods, a weird story. Next, plus open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We've got open lines for you for the rest of tonight now as well. We got deluged with snow. You know, the Midwest is getting blanketed, but the meteorologist predicted about 5 to 7 inches, and I think that's what we have. And I'm on a plane in about 3 hours, folks, going to Denver to do our Beyond Belief television programs. We tape once a month, and the new season is starting. So off we go, if we can go. So far, the airlines are reporting everything is a go. It is amazing what our people can do during inclement weather. But they have had about 200 flights canceled already. But I've been out here in St. Louis now since Halloween. So 3 months. 3 months up here. And time to get back to Los Angeles. It's been a long time. Okay, we've got open lines for you, and let's go to the phones and pick it up. Let's go to Bill, truck driving in Washington, to get things started. Hello, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem, George. I wanted to actually call you Christmas night about this, but I couldn't get through. And, again, I just appreciate your openness about the Big Bang Theory and your lack of really, you know, visualizing it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, yeah, and nobody really does. It's just the prevailing theory. You know, there's still lack of information. But there is some things that have come out recently that I think may help. Like, for instance, astrophysicists now say that time existed before the Big Bang.
That's intriguing.
It is. It is. And also they say that there is another universe that is like ours, that time is running backwards. You know, our timeline is going one way. The mirror universe of us is going the other way. And that makes me think about the bread analogy, or the butter and bread analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, like when you scrape butter over bread, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner. And finally, you can start to see the bread through the butter, the thin, super thin film of butter. And that is what physicists refer to as the singlet state, or it will be a single spectral line. Right now, we have dimensionality, right? But our universe will eventually just be a single spectral line with a quantum spin of zero. I mean, it'll just be like the word says, a single spectral line with no quantum spin at all. And the dark matter that we currently can, you know, theoretically detect, that dark matter, I believe, is the imprint, kind of the imprint of the bread beneath the butter. And the bread would be the alternate universe.
Interesting thoughts. Isn't it fascinating, though, just letting your mind wander, trying to think about these possibilities?
It is. And as far as, like, the Big Bang goes, remember, you know, when you open the tub of butter and it's perfectly flat, sometimes it's perfectly flat, that would be the singlet state. And when you dip the knife in there, that would be another dimension, reforming and giving dimension, you know, the hologram, giving the hologram or the dimensionality to our universe again.
But how did it start, Bill? How did it all start?
Well, yeah, and this is why, I mean, it really doesn't negate anything with God, because if you think about God, God is more than likely time. God is more likely time. And in the Bible, it does talk about the Erufel, which is the darkness. God appeared, or the Shekinah appeared as a pillar of darkness, and you had to go through that darkness to get to the light. That darkness could be like dark matter.
Mm-hmm.
The light could be matter. In other words, creation, existence. The light could be existence.
Great observation. Thanks a lot. Bill, our truck driver, he's in the state of Washington. And what's so cool about truck drivers, they've got so much time to think while they're driving, like Bill is. That's cool. Let's go. Well, now, there are two guys that call the program as much as they can try to get through. But they have become friends based on this show. And I'm going to put them both up for a second so they can say hi to each other. It is Barry in South Carolina. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Joe. Hey, you got Cornelius on the line?
Let's see if he's there. Hello, Corny.
Oh, George and Barry. Yay, and Miss Donna.
I'll let you two converse for a little bit, and then I'll go back to you, Barry, and then Cornelius, I'll put you on hold.
Okay, that's sure. Cornelius, I'm on hold with George, and I just heard you trying to call me, but I couldn't answer because I'm on with George.
Okay. But, Barry, if it wasn't for Tommy, George, he was the one that got us together. Yep. There's another lady out there named Miss Ruth in the Coast to Coast University. I believe she's a Coast to Coast insider, too. She contacts you every now and then. And because of you, George, that's how we got in contact with each other. But Ruthie gave me a C. Crane radio. So
that's
listened.
Cool. Now, have you two, Barry, have you met Cornelius yet?
Not in person yet, but I feel like he's my brother, George.
Well, he's a great guy. I met him in New Orleans at a Oswald conference that we were at and invited to, and he showed up. Then I offered to take him to dinner, but he never showed up after that. What happened to you, Corny?
What happened, George, I lost my way, and then I said, well, I'm going back to Alexandria because I don't want to be lost in New Orleans and get.
Well, when you say you lost your way on this show, it means you're a sinner or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll go back to Barry now and see what's up on his mind. Thanks for singing that song, by the way, Barry. My ratings plummeted that night.
Oh, yeah, listen, George Martha was sitting right beside me here on the bed, and we were dying laughing. I mean, I could not believe it, George. I figured your listenership would jump to 10 million.
I was at the highest rated show before you came on that night, and afterwards it was not even recognizable. They couldn't even find me.
It was way down the road.
Of course, I'm somewhat kidding.
Oh, I know you are. For heaven's sakes, you and I are both stand-up comedians. We're poets and don't know it.
Speaking of that, I've got my Everett Washington show coming up in March. But I've been there before. That means I got to come up with some new jokes and stuff. Gosh.
Listen, I've got a feeling your repertoire is full of jokes, George.
There are some, and there are a few I can't say on the air, unfortunately, but they're funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course that. Listen, I've got a repertoire that doesn't sound like Richard Pryor or anything like that. But it's a little risque. But I am a amateur stand-up comedian. I can get in front of a crowd of 150, 200 without any problem.
You don't get nervous?
No, heck no. I already know what I'm going to say, so I got it memorized.
Yeah, me too. I love live audiences. It's just it's energetic for me. It really it's something.
Hey, listen, at the Diana Wortham Theater there in Asheville, you had a mesmerized buddy. And, oh, hey, real quick, are you going to try to come back next year?
I don't know what Tommy's working on his schedule. I know we've got that. We've got Columbus, Ohio. He's got he told me not to announce it yet, but I think we're going to do Fort Lauderdale. And he's got a couple other more cities. Maybe next year, 2020.
Oh, I tell you what, with your Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett type songs, George, you would be an instant hit in Fort Lauderdale, buddy.
Well, that's what we're going to do. Barry, thanks, my friend. Be well.
Oh, listen, let me ask you real quick,
yeah,
George.
Yeah, sure.
I love that last guest you had on. That was fascinating, some of the things that she said about just your name.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yes, it was. And, also, listen, I told Tommy the other night, I'm in big trouble, I think. I got a telegram, George, from ZZ Top telling me not to ever sing a song of theirs. Sue me.
You're going to get a chance to meet Billy Gibbons one night.
I have. I've already had.
Oh, did you? Okay, cool.
All right, anyway, I'll let you go, and thanks again, George, and keep up the great work.
Okay, now let's go back to Cornelius. And the duo will be wrapped up. Hi, Corny.
Hey, George, how you doing? Look, George, boy, I tried to get through, you know, last Saturday was my birthday. I was telling Donna.
That's right.
58. And so I just couldn't get through last Saturday, but I made it this Saturday. George, I'm praying for you that the snow will stop and everything, and you'll get out there and get to Beyond Belief in Denver and do your TV show and everything. And I told Donna I wanted to concentrate tonight, and I'm going to tell you one of them weird stories. But what I wanted to talk about, I used to be a federal worker. As all y'all, I used to work for the Federal Bureau of Prisons at Oakdale, Louisiana. And I went through a shutdown and stuff, one or two, while I was a federal correctional officer.
Without pay?
Yeah. And what they did, the Barksdale Federal Credit Union, what they did, they gave us a no-interest loan to tide us over and stuff. But some of the guys, they had to leave. They had to, you know, work somewhere else. Because we live paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. I don't get how they can't be paying people. They got to get this country going again. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, George, I blame really both of them. President Trump is involved and the Democrats. They could both sit down and work together and stuff like that. But for some reason, and I'm for the wall. I know you're against it, but I am for the wall. Like I said, we got a fence around our house for a reason, and Obama and them have walls around their, you know, places for a reason and stuff like that. And walls do work. Either they keep somebody in or they keep somebody out. So they do work.
Well, and I'm not in favor of illegal immigration. We need to do something about that.
I know.
But you know what? They'll just people see the troublemakers are going to find their way into this country, wall or no wall. I mean, they're going to come through. They'll come through Canada. They'll come on a boat. They'll sneak in through California. The troublemakers will always find a way to get in. The terrorists, they get on planes from the Middle East or wherever they're coming from. That's how they get through.
Well, a lot of them now, they know they can come through the south of the border because that's the easiest way to get in. But anyway, George, let me tell you this weird story. My truck broke down last month, and it broke down this month, which is December and January. So by the grace of God, the truck broke down this month. A fella and his young lady, they were in this park area in Alexandria, Louisiana. And I just stopped in the middle of traffic. Well, a sheriff's deputy come up behind me and was going to write me a ticket.
Oh, geez.
So I told her, I said, look, my truck just broke down. I don't have no way. I'm kind of getting physically where I can't do, but my mind is good, but my physicality, I can't do too much. So this young black fella come out there and push my truck. So I gave him $20 for helping me push my truck. So Henry's towing. They've been towing my vehicle the last two times, and his son came to pick me up. He said, I listen to you. I hear you on coast to coast. I hear you on another local radio station. And so he got me over there, and Halliburton's was the auto clinic that I go to. And he said, man, Mr. White, you just have nothing but bad luck from December to January. I done spent almost $2,000 on this old girl. She's a 94 GMC King Cab pickup truck.
How many miles on that baby?
It's got 500,000 miles.
500,000 miles?
I used to drive back and forth from Oakdale. I put 3,000 miles a month on her.
My God. What do you do? Find an ice slip and drive to Europe with this thing?
No, but by keeping oil changes, the tune-ups, and all like that, George, you can keep your vehicle going and everything.
It's like a human body.
Before we get off, George, we lost a cop in Shreveport, Louisiana, a rookie cop. Y'all lost a rookie cop, female. Both were female. I don't know if the other one was white or Hispanic in California. We need to salute our cops. And some of them are killing themselves. They've been killing themselves. These suicides and stuff, poor cops are under so much strain. I know a lot of them listen. One night, I hope you'll let cops call in and correctional officers and military police. Just have a night of cops. We need cops appreciation a week or a day or something on Coast to Coast AM. But those people are risking our lives, the military, police, and stuff like that. So maybe one day, George, you give a four-hour show and let the cops call in with their angel stories or...
Oh, and they've got many. They've got many, and you're right. They all listened. Cornelius, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it. Let's go to our first-time caller, Daniel, in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show. You there?
Hello, yes.
There. Oh, almost disconnected you. Hey, we saved you.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. So I wanted to wait until to tell you the story, possibly when you were coming to Columbus. I'm looking forward to seeing you here.
Oh, cool.
I'll get right into it. Me and my friend went camping down south of Columbus, and you know, we were just having a good time, hanging around the fire, telling some stories, and all of a sudden we see this kind of glow over across the ridge, and we're a curious bunch, so we go and want to see what's going on, and so we're exploring, getting closer to this ridge, and I gotta tell you, it was the weirdest thing. I started to see these shapes like circles, and my friend said he was seeing triangles, and
jeez,
as we kept getting closer, our got like a splitting headache kind of just coming at us, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, I blacked out or I woke up and I was just back in camp, and everything seemed fine, but I felt different.
Sounds like a classic abduction case, Daniel.
I don't want to say it because it just didn't seem real to me. But ever since we got back, I just felt strange, and my friend refuses to talk about it, so I don't really have anyone to.
Have you had strange dreams about this?
I have been. I feel like, and they're very lucid. I feel like they've been coming to me in my sleep, and I don't know. They just. I guess the reason I did end up calling and not waiting for you to come was that your previous guest was talking about names and these beings, this energy that I'm feeling in these like very lucid, real dreams just seem to be calling out to me and like giving me a name, and it just made me think of that caller, and I felt the urge to call in and hear what you might have to think about this. So.
Well, it sounds like you had some kind of abduction case. If you guys were seeing lights and triangles, and then you don't really have any recollection of what happened, something may have happened to both of you. You might want to get hypnotic regression. And in that scenario, you might be able to recollect what happened to you. That happened to Barney and Betty Hill back in the 60s. Where they really were the first well-known abduction case. But the doctor, Dr. Benjamin Simon from Boston, hypnotized both of them separately. And they told him an incredible story of being abducted. And that abduction happened in New Hampshire. That may have happened to you, too. And by the way, we look forward to seeing you in Columbus. That is May 11th at the Lincoln Theater. And definitely introduce yourself to me, Daniel, when we do the meet and greet as well. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast and take some more open line calls. We'll do that next hour as well. Don't forget to follow us on our YouTube channel now. The icon is at coasttocoastam.com at the top. But if you're on YouTube already, just put in Coast to Coast AM Official in the search bar. It's free to subscribe, so just click that away, and you'll like that. And then follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We'll be back in a moment with more calls. My colleague Richard Serrett, of course, will be hosting on Saturday and Sunday for you, and then I'll be back on Monday for you on Coast to Coast. Let's come back in a moment and have more of your open line calls. By the way, ParanormalDate.com is really cruising along. It's close to 82,000 members now, and we need 469 people to sign up for free to become members at ParanormalDate.com, and the apps are available for you, too, in your app store for free. So just download it and put it on your smartphone and just have some fun. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Montrose, Colorado. Corick is with us on Coast to Coast. Did you get much snow today, Corick, out there?
No, I did not, mister.
You did not? Okay. I know Boulder got hit with some, they said.
Yeah, it was actually going through Arizona yesterday.
Ah.
It was quite the storm, actually.
All right. Well, how are you? What's up?
I'm good. I was actually curious about your take on the skinwalkers, because I was actually going to that area in Arizona.
If you can get there, and I think they still are taking tours, it's a weird, weird place.
Yeah, so I heard it was Utah, Northeastern?
Yes.
Correct?
Yep.
Mr. Knapp was talking about it. I did actually peek on your YouTube. And I was curious, though, does it go anywhere else in that area besides Utah?
I think it's, well, it goes north, but I think in terms of the things that happen there, it's a weird place. Now, you may experience some of those things when you're out there.
I did. Actually, I was traveling through, and I
Oh, you went through. Okay.
Yes, sir. And then I don't know if it was correct or not, but I saw a person, and I don't know. I looked back, and he was gone. So here.
Well, it could be. I've not been there. Was it scary?
It was just desolate. You know, I mean, it was very. You know, there's things to the left, things to your left, right. Excuse me. And it was a person in the middle of nowhere, and it
poof.
Very eerie.
It has been a strange thing for you know, hundreds of years.
And so has it been that way for a long time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. George wrote a book on Skinwalker. Go to Amazon.com and just put in George Knapp, K-N-A-P-P, and his book will pop up. Well worth reading.
And he still does your weekends?
Yeah, yeah, he pops on Sundays primarily.
Very, very good man, yeah. I like his style.
Super.
Yes. All right, thanks, sir.
Okay, go on out there and enjoy. Skinwalker Ranch, it used to be owned by Bob Bigelow. It's been sold since, but it's a weird, weird place. Let's go to Douglas in Massachusetts. Welcome to the program. Hi, Douglas.
George, good day. I should say good morning. It's the first time I've had the pleasure of talking to you.
Well, welcome.
I'm wondering if by any chance you're going to be on the weekend of Feb 2 or Feb 3. And if you're not, maybe you can put me in touch with somebody who will, because let me tell you what I'm thinking.
Okay, I will probably be on, what is the first Sunday in February?
Believe it or not.
I'll be on that night. I don't know who my Saturday person is, but I'll be on that Sunday.
Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Feb 3 is the 60th anniversary of the event Don McLean called The Day the Music Died.
Ah, okay.
Now, I've been listening to Coast for a long time. And I've heard you talk to these psychic mediums who claim that they can contact the dearly departed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just occurred to me, you know, if I could get a hold of George, I wonder what he would think of getting a hold of one of these mediums, see if they can contact somebody who was on that plane. Was it really as simple as bad weather? Was there a conversation going on that we never heard about? I mean, if we could find out what really happened 60 years ago, I thought, you know, that'd be really wild. So I figured I'd take advantage of this opportunity to call you and, see what you thought of that.
Interesting take. Let's see. Richie Valens died that night.
Yeah.
Big Bopper died that night.
Yeah. As far as we know, it was just as simple as bad weather.
Right. The pilot died that night, obviously.
Yeah. Maybe it was as simple as bad weather. Well, maybe one of these psychic mediums that you people interview all the time could give us some new information. So anyway, that's why I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to call you.
All right, Douglas, we'll check into that then. Of course, the guy who is the best for that is no longer with us, R. Gary Patterson.
Dear.
He would have been all over that story.
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd bounce the idea off you, see what you think.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. So nice talking to you, George.
You too, my friend. Be well. Next up, let's go to Annie in Alabama. Welcome to the show. Hello, Annie.
Hello, George. You just happened to play a Jim Croce tune, and now you're talking about getting on that plane. And, you know, I tried to call Jim Croce and tell him not to get on that plane.
You tried to call him?
I did.
Really? Did you have, like, a feeling?
I had a very strong feeling, and I made numerous phone calls trying to find him, and I was unable to get him on the phone. I just wanted to tell him not to get on that plane, and his plane went down. And I don't know if it was ice on the wings. It was September. I don't know what it was.
How did you get that feeling? Tell me what happened.
Something just told me. Something told me. And I don't know what it was that told me. Maybe it's a gift. You know, the Bible says people have those kinds of spiritual gifts. And I've always had one. And I don't want you to get on this plane because this is bad weather that you could be flying.
Oh, don't say that to me, Annie. Don't tell me you're getting one of those feelings.
Please not get on it.
I got to go.
Take a train.
I got to go. I hope you're not the Monday story on Coast to Coast without me.
Well, you could take a train or you could take a taxi cab.
A train from St. Louis to Denver, I'll be on it all day. I got to get there and start filming and taping and stuff. I'll be okay. These airlines know when to fly. The big ones. I don't fly little planes, Andy. I fly the big ones, okay? 737s and up. No single little Cessnas for me or anything like that. So don't worry about that. Thanks for your concern, though. Let's go to Bob in Norwalk, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Robert. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the global warming.
Okay, turn down your radio just a little bit, if you could.
Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. You know, we hear about experts, so-called experts, and people talk about the cause of global warming. But we never, at least I've never heard anybody mention the reason, which, of course, is different than the cause. It's more important than the cause. And the way you find the reason is you just keep asking, what's the reason for this cause? And when you get down to the last question, which would answer would be too many people, then you finally reach the reason for global warming. But like I say, I don't know if you've ever had any guests discuss the reason.
We've touched on the pros and cons, and you know, I've had guests on who believe that the human cause is the factor. I've had other people that believe that we're in an earth cycle. Regardless, you know, I think that we are polluting this planet.
Oh, we are. I mean,
there's no doubt about that.
For years, we used coal for electricity. There was no problem. You know, you never heard people speak of global warming back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, because it was no problem. But as the population gets out of control, we control animal life, you know, with the Department of Fish and Game. But we don't control ourselves. The planet, there has to be a stopping point. The planet can only support so much.
Yeah, I mean, we can't, let's say, double the population of the planet.
Right. Yeah. You know,
it's hard enough as it is right now.
Yeah, I've heard experts say we've passed the point of no return.
What are we sitting at now, like 8 billion, something like that?
I don't have a clue. It's
a lot of people.
Yeah. But something else I was going to ask you, if you ever heard anybody discuss new forms of life? I figure that we have six forms of life, human, animal, aquatic, plant, insect, and then the last germ. Life that was discovered with the microscope.
What would the next one be?
Well, that's what I'm asking. What is it? There has to be other forms. You know, it was, like I say, with the invention of the microscope, when they were able to see germ life.
Sure.
Which was back in the late 1700s. You know, and since then, I wonder about the pyramids, how they. The construction of the pyramids, and I can't help but wonder if you take a rock and you pulverize it down to the size of grains of sand, if there is a form of life of, say, sand or rock, and because they don't really know. There's a lot of theories how they built the pyramids, and I just can't help but wonder if they can communicate. Someone could find the way to communicate with other forms of life, such as, say, sand. And, the thing that comes to mind is the Coral Castle down in Florida.
Yep.
The gentleman that built it said...
Edward Leeds Skolnin.
And all he would ever say when anybody asked him how you did that, he would say, it's easy once you know how.
Yep, he knew the secrets of the pyramids, he used to say.
Well, like I say, if you could If you there's what's where the pyramids are is nothing but sand.
Have you seen those pictures in the desert of rocks, big boulders
moving
that look like they were walking?
Right. Yeah, that's what I said.
Isn't that weird?
There has to be other forms of life that we don't know of. You know, and like I say, if you could communicate to where you could make the sand into rocks as big as you wanted them, and have them move to the pyramid, you know, build a pyramid with them.
Well, that's an interesting take. Thanks, appreciate that. Yeah, this is it's weird. It's like the little rocks moved in a shifting motion, you know, 10, 15 feet. I mean, there'd be no way, and you could see that. You could see how they shifted away. They would leave rock prints in the sand. Very strange. Next up, we've got Michael in Jamestown, North Carolina. Welcome to the program. Hi, Michael.
Oh, hi, George. Good morning. How is the snow situation there in St. Louis?
It's bad. I'm supposed to fly out of here in a couple hours after the show, but I don't know if I'm going to get out of here or not.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. We're supposed to get some ice here in North Carolina tomorrow night. But,
oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. We had about a foot last month, but we'll see how the rest of the winter unfolds.
It's way too early for all this, too. You know what? It's only January.
I know. We still have February and March. So, yeah, it's a new year, so we'll see how the rest of the year unfolds.
Yeah, exactly. What's up?
Well, first off, I just wanted to real quickly address my condolences for the passing of Andre Gauchon. I was very sad to hear
his
passing recently.
Gosh, we're going to miss him. What a great guest.
Oh, he was. He was so informative and such an expert on the finances. I don't know much about that stuff, but and he was so young. And I know he was just on the program not too long ago.
Yeah, just about like a week and a half before he died.
Yeah, I was very sad to hear that, so my sympathies for that. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about basically, I mean, the vibe I'm getting in that, you know, I know you've expressed this several times, is that, you know, nobody seems to be getting along with anybody anymore. I've noticed, like, even in my personal life, it's like, you know, people just want to jump into other people's personal affairs without really getting any of the facts. And
you're so right.
I mean, I even had, you know, a disagreement with one of my relatives. He had an issue with something I had wrote him, and instead of, you know, addressing me on the subject, he, you know, didn't get my side of the story and wanted to jump in and put his two cents in. And
yeah.
I told him, I said, look, I said, you know, before you want to jump to conclusions, you have to, you know, let me speak and hear my side of the story.
Right.
And I that's just the general feeling I've noticed that's going on with most people nowadays.
You're absolutely right. People don't discuss anymore. They argue. And they jump to conclusions. The old days where you could sit down and talk to somebody and relax and just have good dialogue, it's gone.
I know, yeah. And, you know, there's an old saying, you know, never argue, listen first. And, you know, I don't always agree with everything everybody says, but you have to be willing to see their perspectives. And
you're respectful of their opinion. That's the important thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to respect where they're coming from. And I really appreciate how, you know, you never yell or scream at anybody, even if you disagree with them. You let them talk and speak. And I truly appreciate that. You know,
wish we could have more of that on the airwaves sometimes.
Yeah, that would be nice because, frankly, you know, you turn on the news lately and it almost gives you a headache. I turn it off most of the time nowadays.
That could be why the show's taken off the way it does here, because it's somewhat relaxing and informative and everything else. It's one of a kind. Julie's in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Julie.
Hi, George.
How are you?
I'm good. I just want to thank you for keeping me awake in the morning. Hey, I have a story. I don't know if you'd call it weird.
We'll find out.
Okay. First, how did you get enamored by Frank Sinatra?
I think it was my mother playing his records when I was a young kid over and over again, and I would just do that. And then I picked up a few books a couple years ago on his life, and I was just fascinated by the character of Frank Sinatra and the things he was able to do. He was one heck of a person. I mean, if he liked you, he loved you. But if he didn't, you didn't want to be around the guy.
No. Oh, and then what's Ian Punnett's PhD in.
What's his what? PhD in?
Yeah.
Journalism.
Okay. Story. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So 2 months ago, I threw a 30-year-old leather jacket that was like brand new, heavy, expensive in my trunk. And I was sitting at an intersection and there was a homeless man standing there shaking. It was like, it's Columbus in January, it's freezing. So I handed him a couple bucks. And then I thought, oh. So I popped the trunk and I pulled out the leather jacket and I put it on him and he fit him. And so I didn't want to look around and see what people were thinking. So I just peeked over and there was a little toothless girl. She must have been like 5. And she had this grin on her face like nobody's business. And she was smiling.
Priceless.
Priceless.
I'm going to let you finish the story when we come back. Good for you.